This moving visit to Auschwitz marked the third time Pope Benedict had visited the death camps. He travelled there as Archbishop of Munich alongside Pope John Paul II in 1979, and he returned in 1980 with a delegation of German bishops, appalled by the evil of such a place, yet grateful for the work of reconciliation that has emerged in the years since then and continues today to teach young people the stark lessons of history. As Veronica Scaresbrick visited Auschwitz for the first time, she too was shocked by what she saw, but impressed by the words of one German priest there who has dedicated his life to that work of reconciliation and peace among future generations.
Marie Kafka from Prague, Sarah Comcoen from Amsterdam, Peter Eisler from Germany, names written in white paint on suitcases. A jumble of them piled high, exhibited in the museum of the Nazi concentration and extermination camp of Auschwitz-Birkenau. Petters had his birth date on it. He was a year old when he reached here. He lived less than a week. From 29 nations, they all came here to the centre of Europe, bundled in cattle trucks, bearing their belongings in these suitcases. It's all that's left to identify them. On second thoughts, that's not true. It's not all that's left. The SS kept everything, wasted nothing. From the interns' hair they made textiles, from the ashes that emerged from the crematorium fertilizer. The list could go on and on and on. Even young, healthy children were not wasted, rather taught a skill so they would eventually serve the Third Reich. But most never even passed that selection, were never afforded the privilege of working in a labor camp. They were never allowed to have a purplish number branded on their arms. Only ordered to undress, remember the number on the coat hanger they would never again set eyes on, and taken directly to one of the four huge gas chambers complete with crematoria that could handle 200,000 inmates at a time. A sobering reminder of the frontiers of evil. Yes, I always knew 1,500,000 people died here. I'd been shown the photographs of their wasted bodies piled high at school. Bodies of the Polish elite, the Rom, the disabled, homosexuals, and that vast majority of Jews. I knew this was the scene of the largest experiment in genocide in the history of humankind, and the world's largest cemetery, but I never imagined the sheer scale of it, how systematic it all was, how nothing had been left to chance. How can one pray where so much evil has been perpetrated? I mean, where was God?
Those who died here were loved by God. They had a dignity which God gave them, and the murderers could not take it in the end.
Father Manfred Desalers works in Auschwitz at the Center for Dialogue and Prayer, which was set up in 1992. He first visited the death camps in the early 1970s, before working in Israel with a German peace and reconciliation group.
Being here for the first time, I was very much moved and touched and, in a sense, shocked about what my people, the German people, has done. And I understood that being normal is not normal, and it means a great responsibility. A great responsibility for peace and reconciliation. And later only, several years later, 2 years later, I decided to study theology and become a priest, and the service for reconciliation for me still is one of the main issues.
You said you came here because of the shock you felt. I think what shocked me this morning, I saw Auschwitz for the first time, was the sheer scale of it and the systematic elimination that took place here.
The scale and the scale of loss of feeling, of dignity, of person. People were treated as material. They were used as working labor, but they had no dignity, which was respected. Once I talked with a survivor, a Jewish person, and she asked me, what do you want me to do here? And I answered, in a sense, I want to give you back your dignity. And she said to me, oh, Manfred, you don't have to give me back my dignity. I did never lose it. You have lost it. Which means, of course, not personally, I I lived not in that time. But those who were responsible for what happened here lost the conscience, the faith, the feeling of human dignity.
You spoke about those who were responsible. So you still feel a common guilt all these years later, 61 years have gone by as a German?
All the survivors say me, Manfred, you are not guilty, because I'm born many years later. I don't feel that all the Germans now living are guilty, but someone did what happened, and there is a guilt, and this is connected with the German people. And it's not possible to escape it. But it's changing into responsibility. I have to know what wounds have been caused in other people, in other nations, and they are still wounds. And this, for me, means a responsibility to try to heal it, to build bridges, new bridges, to enforce existing bridges, which have to be human bridges, bridges from heart to heart, bridges of trust. I cannot be here just as a human person, not being seen as a human person from Germany. And this has a dimension of special responsibility.
You mention the word responsibility all the time. Why do you think Pope Benedict is coming here? Because he has a duty rather than as an act of courage? Why is Pope Benedict, do you think, as a German Pope coming here?
No, first of all, he comes here as a Pope. He is not representing the German people, he is representing the Catholic Church. But of course it has a meaning that he is German, like it had a meaning that John Paul II was Polish. John Paul II was born here, not far from here. And so when he came here from a very personal feeling of obligation, and also he had been bishop in this area. Benedict has a totally different background, but in this time of history, he said himself, maybe it's a sign of providence that after the Polish Pope, there's a German Pope. And coming here, he certainly shows that the memory of Auschwitz and the wound of Auschwitz is something important for the Church, at least in this given time of history. And he feels he should come here to pray, to honor the victims, to show the world and his German people and the Church that it is important to remember and important with this memory do whatever we can for peace and understanding among nations and religions.
How does one pray in a place where so much evil has been perpetrated?
I think here you always begin with silence, not with words. With silence and listening. Listening to the voice of this earth, listening to the memories of the victims, and looking for God, searching God. For us Christians, the memory of Jesus on the cross with the cry, my God, why have you abandoned me, is very important. So it helps to believe that those who died here were not abandoned by God. But for me, it's in a sense easy to say so. I was not here in those times. But there are testimonies of those who survived, even of those who died here. Such testimonies of people losing their faith, and testimonies of people who died with their faith, Christian and Jewish. And so anyway, I have to decide my own. But for me personally, the main important aspect is the memory or the belief that those who died here were loved by God. They had a dignity which God gave them, and the murderers could not take it in the end. So God was on their side and not on the murderer's side.
So Hitler didn't have the final word?
He did not. And I believe deeply that God has the last word, and God is love.
Veronica Scaresbrick was talking there with Father Manfred Desallers, who works in Auschwitz at the Center for Dialogue and Prayer.